follows the financial institution's decision to block an interest payment Buenos Aires tried to make to its bondholders. Cabinet Chief Jorge Capitanich said the decision was due to the failure of Bank of New York representatives Mariel Veronica Garcia Stutzenegger and Maria de la Cruz Solares to comply with the law and pay with the holders of restructured Argentine government bonds under the terms of the 2005 and 2010 debt restructurings that followed Argentina's record-setting 2001 default. The Bank of New York Mellon was the trustee responsible for processing payments to those so-called exchange bondholders. But it blocked Argentina's most recent payment, due on June 30th, in compliance with the ruling by a New York judge who decided in favor of a small group of holdout hedge funds that had sued Buenos Aires for full payment on bonds they bought at large discounts in 2002. Argentina's appeal of Grieza's ruling reached the U.S. Supreme Court in June of this year, but the justices declined to hear the challenge.
Israel has leveled a 12-story apartment building and a 7-story office building as it continues its bombardment of Gaza. According to Agence France-Presse, more than 100 Palestinians have been killed since Israel resumed airstrikes last week. On Saturday and Sunday, Palestinian medics said at least 22 people were killed, including a 1-year-old girl and a mother and 3 children from the same family. Several Palestinians have been killed today, including a 3-year-old boy. Nearly 500 Palestinian children have been killed since Tel Aviv began its assault some 3 weeks ago. In the occupied West Bank, a 14-year-old boy who was shot Friday during a protest against the Gaza assault has died from his wounds. Palestinian resistance groups and Israeli officials have reportedly reached an agreement on a permanent ceasefire.
You get that special feeling then when you're piling up the bombs. There's no business like war. Business is the best business they know. Multinational profits going through the sky. They multiply while children die.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
It's the worst business we know. Never mind the asthma and leukemia. Never mind the water and the air. Nowhere can you get that special feeling than when you're losing all your hair. There's no business like nuke business, the worst business we know. Cancer rates keep going right through the sky.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Well, we hear a lot about censorship of the writer on TV.
We hear a good deal about it in your own case especially.
Well, depending, of course, on the thematic treatment you're using, if you have the temerity to try to dramatize a theme that involves any particular social controversy currently extant, then you're in deep trouble.
For instance?
A racial theme, for example. The case in point, I think, a show I did for the Steel Hour some years ago, 3 years ago, called Noon on Doomsday, which was a story which purported to tell what was the aftermath of the alleged kidnapping in Mississippi of the Tillboy, the young Chicago Negro. And I wrote the script using black and white initially. Then it was changed to suggest an unnamed foreigner. Then the locale was moved from the South to New England, and I'm convinced they'd have gone up to Alaska or the North Pole and using Eskimos as a possible minority, except I suppose the costume problem was of sufficient severity not to attempt it. But it became a lukewarm, vitiated, emasculated kind of show.
You went along with it?
All the way. I protested. I went down fighting, as most television writers do, thinking in a strange, oblique, philosophical way that better say something than nothing. In this particular show, though, by the time they had finished taking Coca-Cola bottles off the set because the sponsor claimed that this had Southern connotations, suggesting to what depth they went to make this a clean, antiseptically, rigidly acceptable show. Why, it bore no relationship at all to what we had purported to say initially.
Angry Indian Radio, You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart aboriginals.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
There for us to learn from that.
I think that we have got to work much more closely with the leadership of the country.
I just got to talk to each other, I think. Sit down and talk and listen to each other. It's, you know, you can fight and fight and fight. It'll just continue and just blow, get bigger and bigger and bigger. You've got to sit down somewhere and talk, but nobody seems to listen.
Well, we haven't got the greatest history at choosing the right side or doing the right thing, I suppose. But, I mean, that's what history is. You learn from your mistakes, or you don't learn from your mistakes and you just do them again, but I think that's human nature.
Well, I'm sure international intelligence must have picked up that this was going to happen, and therefore that intelligence should have been fed back to senior figures, senior leaders within the Western community to prepare them for... what this is, a bloodbath.
There are lots of lessons being learned in the past, like Afghanistan and all that, Al-Qaeda and all that, Taliban and everything, everywhere. There's unfortunate bit of problems, you know. But the lessons should be learned, and this book, instead of being interrupting the problem on a one-sided, you must look at the more objective and resolve the roots of the matter, and then do something for it.
Internet radio for smart aboriginals.
C'est intelligent, intelligent de radio.
All right, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, salutation and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world, living under colonial, imperial, theological, racialist, homophobic, misogynist, neoclassist, neoliberal, neoliteral, neo-fascist, and anti-nature oppression. Because we have to protect Mother Earth. Mother Earth is really getting tired of how human beings are treating her. And, you know, she's fighting back the only way she knows how, by just not doing what it is that you need done, by, you know, reverting and not repairing itself, because some of you out here don't really give a fuck. But anyway, I'm your host, Angry Indian, and you know, brothers and sisters, all you moons and quasars out there, you know, I'm the editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, and as usual, we're blogging to the fourth world from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive producer and studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Yeah, man, you know, I mean, there's a lot going down. Obviously, what's happening in Ferguson is pretty bad. It's pretty serious. You know, people are getting hurt. People are getting, you know, police records now that they didn't have before, which is going to, you know, really, you know, impact them when it comes to employment, when it comes to housing. Because I know a lot of white people never really think about this, but they do a criminal background check on you if you're of color. You know, I mean, poor white people get it too, depending on what part of the country they're in. But it's not generally the case. And, you know, having an arrest on your record, you know, having done jail time, right, if you have whatever, you know, you know, anything, really, any negative, you know, being accused, being picked up and not charged. You know, I mean, they used to tell you, you know, back in the day that, you know, do your crime, pay your time, right? And when you get out, everything's supposed to be, you know, done with. You paid your debt to society. That's what they used to say. Now, they just got you on the hook, man, for the rest of your fucking life. You know, I mean, I know cats that did things back in the 80s. And they're still, you know, I mean, they can never really get out from under that. They will never get out from under it, I suppose, you know, for the remainder of their lives. Because, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like with the debt that we talk about. You know, whether it's from the, excuse me, you know, whether it's from the subprime loan scandal that ended up, you know, under Bush and ended up crashing the entire world's fucking economy, you know, if it's not something like that, right? You know, you got like how the debt is sold, you know, it's just sold, you know, that debt itself is a commodity. And, you know, you have nations that are in debt that don't deserve to be. You know, it was their leadership, it was the ruling class, it was the elites, it was usually the business class working with the military elites that borrowed all of the money, used it for themselves, put it away in Swiss bank accounts, whatever, put it away in Barbados, whatever they did. And, you know, the end result is that when the regime finally falls, something happens, they're the ones that are held responsible for what happened. I mean, if you want to, you know, if Indonesia ever really, seriously, and I'm sure that they've talked about it, ever really wanted to recoup what was theirs, and if the World Bank was serious by getting their money back, how come they didn't go after the Soeharto family? You know, I'd say the same thing about the Philippines, but they didn't leave Imelda with very much. I mean, she has her status still, you know, in her own head and for those who believe in her. But, you know, in the whole scheme of things, you know, they ripped off the country for years. And, you know, because of the way that he went out and the way that they did things, she's got nothing. You know, she's got nothing. But usually, I mean, I don't know what was happening. Somebody was paying the bill. Where was he when he finally passed away? In this motor car over in Saudi, Luke? Was he in Saudi Arabia? Because they were one of the groups that backed him. I mean, besides Israel and England and the U.S. to a lesser extent in terms of the Cold War. Yeah, he was in exile in France too for a while, right? You know, but in any case, you know, somebody was paying the bill. You know, not all of them live like that. You know, live fairly well. Some of them, you know, they just give them a cottage someplace and a couple of security people who, you know, half-assed soldiers, and that's it. You know, but it's the way that it's done though in the United States. I mean, hey, you know, they just realized nobody really wants to talk about this. But, you know, the ticketing of black people, the fines and the fees for being incarcerated. You know, I had no idea in the United States of America that in Washington State over here above where I reside, if you have a jury trial, they charge you $200 and some odd dollars for it. And you know, and Luke, your husband was telling me that it's not just the Pacific Northwest, that this is a thing. That they charge you for the amount of days that they hold you, even if they find you innocent. You got to go to court to recoup what, you know, your money, because they send your family a bill. Yeah, remember speaking of the Philippines? I just mentioned the Philippines. Yeah, you know, they would send, you know, bills for bullets to the families of people who were murdered by the police. True story. I mean, they've done it in Thailand too, I believe, and in Indonesia, where they will send the family an itemized bill for the amount of bullets that were used to take down their loved one. So, you know, how much longer before that starts happening in the United States and Canada? What, you say what? Mexico and Chile did? You're talking about Chile under Allende. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Mexico too? I mean, I'm not surprised either. I just wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, same.
When it comes to the union people, yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, I wasn't aware of that. But yeah, this thing about, you know, first they want to incarcerate you because they make a profit over holding you because they're siphoning money from the state, these private joints, right? The state joints don't want you. You know, for what? There's no profit in it, right? So there's no point. So, you know what? Somebody, who was it? Rick Scott over there in Florida. He flat out said that people who are politically connected will be able to take an opportunity in the private incarceration business. He said it just like that. So, I mean, you know, there's no room for doubt in this. That, you know, that they will do just about anything. You know, be it landmines, be it the production of other armaments, right? The production of warships, the production of warplanes, you know, security, this, that, and the other. Well, not really security, but just, you know, crap-ass little tinker toys that they create to violate your privacy all the goddamn time, to sell it to the same people who are funding this. Now, I'm not talking about DARPA. You know, I mean, of course, DARPA comes into this, but you know, DARPA is who gave us the internet. You know, not the, who was it that started that? It had to have been Fox. Somebody on Fox said Al Gore said that he created the internet. Well, from what I understand, he was taken out of context. But, you know, your tax dollars is what created the internet. I mean, professors and medical professionals around the world were using the internet, especially if you know anything at all about, web design or construction or authoring, depending on what continent you're on at the time, right? It's web authoring in, you know, in Hobart most of the time. But anyway, so, if you understand how the web was and how it became this, fucked up mass of spam and you know, pornography. Yeah, and not even good pornography. You know, just crap ass pornography. You know, this everything. You know, I don't give a fuck what you point to. Capitalism ruins it. You know, I mean, everybody tells me, oh, capitalism is this, capitalism is that. Show me one country that has improved from it. Has India improved from it? No, there's a small group in India that have taken advantage of it. But, or were able to take advantage of it. You dig what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, the poverty, the social abuse, the disease in India is insane. And now they're saying that Ebola has popped up in India, which of course is going to lead to a lot of conspiracy theories about why Africa, why now, the type of Ebola, right? The rate that is spreading. And it's not helping when you got brothers and sisters over there, you know, not all of them necessarily indigenous. I'm talking about people who know better. You know, many of them, these fucking evangelical Christians, you know, they're over there telling people that Ebola doesn't exist. They were over there telling them that, you know, it's other illnesses, that you know, white people are just trying to trick you. These are the same people who are out here, you know, trying to talk people into supporting a big lot store like Walmart or something. You know, one of these big box, you know, goddamn, capitalist monstrosities. You know, these are the same people. And they're telling them, oh, you know, Ebola doesn't exist. Now, when I say that, you know, when I talk about the capitalists, I'm not talking about the people who are benefiting from this. I'm talking about the folks that go out there holding the Bible, with, you know, wearing a t-shirt from, I don't know what, name somebody. DKNY. DKNY, right? Okay, yeah, you know, something like that, or Coca-Cola, or Pepsi, whatever. And, you know, they go out there and they tell them that, you know, things are going to get better. And, you know, you just have to keep believing. And, you know, eventually they're going to bring a Walmart here. And you're going to work there. And you're going to make all this money. And this, that, and the other. Now, these people don't have a fucking thing. You know, that they get a notebook computer or something. Or radio or television for their mother. You know, they're satisfied. You know, they psychologically don't believe that they deserve any more than what they already have. So, when they get it, they're grateful. You dig? Now, the brothers and sisters who are not really our brothers and sisters outside of genetics, they will turn around and they will say, well, hey, yeah, you go do that. And I give you $50 here. I give you 20 here, right? I give you a few euros. You go over there and you do that. You go ahead and you do that. In the meantime, I'm going to siphon as much as I can out of this system while you buffer between me and these other suckers who don't have anything, because you're the real sucker. See? Now, this cat's being played by white colonialism and capitalism, and he knows that. He's intelligent, and more than likely, he and she are educated. So they understand that, but they're willing to sell out. I mean, these are people who are now fighting like crazy. They're injecting skin bleaching creams, which is bad enough that they're already using them. You know, I mean, it's bad enough in North America. It's worse in England, to me. But, you know, in Africa, it is disgusting when, you know, black African people in the mother continent do not want to be black. Now, you know, if you're white, it makes you nervous to hear this. You know, why? I'm not talking about being better than you. I'm not talking about wiping you out, you know, which is what the Klan does, which is what the white supremacists do, right? I'm saying that it's ridiculous when an African does not want to be African. When an Irishman doesn't want to be Irish, right? When the way people no longer want to be way. You know, who's demanding that Russians be anything other than themselves? Well, Russians are demanding that their minorities drop whatever it is and either be, you know, completely Russian or simply leave the country or simply lay down and die for them. You know, these are Russians who act and sound a lot like the Nazis, which is pretty disgusting in and of itself if you think at all about Stalingrad. You know, because people ask me, oh, what was it about you, you know, the Eastern European communist country? I said, man, when it came to getting rid of Nazis, man, they were top notch. You know, if you were in the Stasi, 9 times out of 10, you lost somebody to the Nazis. You dig what I'm saying? You lost somebody. You lost, especially if you were a real communist, you lost somebody in your family because they came after communists, did they not? They came after ethnic minorities, did they not? Not to say that the racism in East Germany didn't exist. Not to say that the ethnic rivalries and what happened in East Germany didn't exist. It's just to say, well, wait a goddamn minute. At least under this system, you know, from their perspective at the time, it seemed like they had a goddamn chance. But with the Nazis, there was absolutely no chance. They lined you up, they put you against the wall, they put you in the shops, right? So no, I'm not going to condemn any Eastern Bloc intelligence, anybody who stomped the fuck out of some Nazis. Now, I'm just not, you know, I'm just not. But you know what I'm trying to point out though is they realized that there was a fucking problem. And they realized that if you don't keep these motherfuckers under hand, you're going to have what the fuck we're seeing in Hungary right now. What we're seeing with the right sector right now. Yeah, and what did I tell you, Lou? The right sector is now, one of their people is visiting San Francisco. To do what? To do what? Anders Breivik used to come to the United States. Did you know that? I mean, if you've ever looked at his manifesto, he quoted Robert Spencer, Pam Geller, a whole bunch of, Waleed Shabbat, the liar. We should just call him Waleed the liar around here. He's the Palestinian cat. I mean, that's the only thing that's true about him. He was the Palestinian cat who was paid by the State Department and the military. And I suppose he's still making money doing this. He goes around the country speaking to police organizations, you know, whatever law enforcement agencies will bring along, and universities and what have you, telling them that the Islamic threat is here. The Islamic threat is total. The Islamic threat wants to, you know, do all of this nightmarish damage. And he said that he was a terrorist himself. This is what he says. Not like Ari, you know who I'm talking about. Uri Avery. Yeah. Now, he was a member of the Jewish resistance. He considered himself to be a Jewish terrorist against the British in the, you know, doing the British mandate, if you want to call it that, the white paper over Palestine. And, you know, he's been pretty open about this. But, you know, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Waleed Shobat is a liar. Waleed Shobat has been making a hell of a lot of money running around the country giving seminars and lectures and what have you and trainings about Arab terrorism that are simply hysterical. You know, most of the time they're not even accurate. And when he gives his own jacket in terms of who he is, it turns out that he's a complete liar. Israel now. Shin Bet says they have never heard of him, that they had never had any contact with him, let alone him being detained by them for a number of years, being tortured by them for a number of years. So, you know, like Ahmed Chalabi, who I heard is actually seriously talking about going back to Iraq. To do what? To do what? You know, where is this, you know, where is this coming from? That you can have this type of malfeasance go on day in, day out, and the United States is at the center of this almost always, and virtually nothing is done in terms of you know, any concrete discussion about, you know, how things can be handled, how you know, things can be improved, how they can be checks and balances, so that we can see what the hell is really going on. When we look at companies like DynCorp, for example, right? DynCorp. How many of you know that DynCorp was out here making a profit and paying, you know, Arabs in Afghanistan? There's been not documentaries about this, but it's been a part of several documentaries I've seen about Afghanistan, where they cannot control these goddamn, because they're not all veterans, because that's not a fair term. What would we call the Arabs people of Afghanistan who were not in any way, I'm not talking about the rural people. I'm just talking about, you know, general, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to say the general population of Afghanistan. You know, it seems that, the majority of the men are bisexual. Okay, who gives a fuck, right? You know, why is this a problem? I mean, why is that a surprise in an anti-female, you know, environment, social environment? You know, why wouldn't they be, you know, closeted, you know, bisexual men? And I'm not talking about gay. That's a completely different cultural understanding that does not relate to what I'm talking about going on, for example, right now in Afghanistan. What I'm specifically speaking about is when you have, you know, societies where, you know, women have absolutely no say, especially to the extreme where you see, you know, what we're talking about now in Afghanistan. It's not a big surprise to find out that these men are having sex with each other and that they're abusing each other. You know, I mean, that was the history of Greece for how goddamn long. The Romans used to criticize them about this. That was their... there's several sources. I mean, it would take a long time to explain. But the Romans had criticized the Greeks for, you know, being nude, you know, doing their sporting events and what have you, and for being openly homosexual and for being pederasts. Which, you know, is a really kind of antiquated term for what we would call today a pedophile, right? So, you know, of course, none of these men see themselves that way, you know, because I can't remember exactly what the documentary was about specifically, but they were following a unit of Marines. And I felt bad for this particular lieutenant because he found out about the use of, young people. That these young people were traded amongst these militia leaders and some of their top men. And that in other cases, and this is what happened with DynCorp, that they were actually giving them and paying for, you know, for parties and what have you, where they, you know, basically seemed like they were, getting them together for, well, they called it party, but I don't know, whatever type of gathering. See, I'm trying to use as delicate language as possible, but I'm not even comfortable talking about this. it's a seriously fucked up. I don't give a damn what your culture is, and I'm being culturally arrogant right now. You know, I mean, I'm born and raised in the West. That's true, and I'm a colonialized Black Indian, you know, of various bloodlines, and that's true. But you know, I have a real fucking problem with the abuse of people. All right, especially when they can't fucking defend themselves, and especially when you're talking about young people. All right, because they carry that bullshit. You know, because somebody asked you just not too long ago, you know, why, it was a woman who, you know, I mean, she's in her mid-40s, so I'm not understanding why she never really thought about this. But, you know, from what I could gather, she came from a community where people didn't really go to the joint. You dig what I'm saying? And she had asked me why she was reading, or she had read something that talked about how, you know, pedophiles, wife killers, girlfriend beaters, what have you, you know, people who are violent towards women and children, why they catch so much hell when they end up in the system. And I'm like, hey, you know, a lot of those cats that are in the system because they were beaten and abused. And see, we never talk about that cycle of violence. And you know, like in Native American communities, you know, because a lot of people will say, well, you don't have a right to speak on Wes situations. Well, you're right. You know, but I will speak on them as a goddamn observer. You're fucking right. See, it's like that, you know, what's going down in Ferguson. You know, they don't want people coming and help them. Are you kidding me? This shit is bigger than you, man. You know, and when you deal with genocide, well, I mean, people on the reservations, what is a reservation to goddamn begin with? You know, it still amazes me politically why people are proud to say that they're from the res. And it's like, well, that's what they have. But the thing about it is, you were on the reservation. The reservation is a concentration camp. Exactly what happened in Germany was based upon what happened in the United States. You think what they, you know, they took what they, what happened, the natives here, and they didn't take any credit? Hitler actually gave credit to the United States for wiping out an inferior people. You know? And in terms of the concentration camps, he had two examples. He had what the United States was doing here to Native Americans, which, you know, really had a lot to do with what was going on in the Boer War in what became South Africa, or the Republic of South Africa. Do we really want to talk about how the British were treating the Boers? No. No, nobody really wants to have that discussion, because now you're talking about human rights. And while we do talk about apartheid and what happened in South Africa, right? You know, how the British treated the Boers was just, you know, it ended up being, well, as one person put it, the gentleman's war was long over once they started setting up the death camps. And again, they looked at what was happening in what became the United States in terms of indigenous people. Okay, Canada likes to pretend that they didn't do any of this. They did it undercover in boarding schools, right? In churches, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, in South Africa, they looked at that. So Hitler looked at this and said, yeah, what the fuck? It can be done. We can do this. He sat with his inner circle and said, we can do this. You know, it's the same thing with the eugenics programs. Eugenics was larger in the United States and Britain than it ever was in the rest of Europe. Okay? You know, 30 different states were sorry, 30 different countries were practicing eugenics at one time. And in the United States, there were people sterilized, put away, you know, just like what? They say the L.A., criminal system right now is really full of people who have mental health problems. Who, you know, they don't know what else to do with them. There's no hospital space because they have no money, because they're building tanks and landmines and all other kinds of bullshit that doesn't do anything for you and me. You know, I mean, this fuel or petroleum stores, I mean, we just saw what BP did to the Gulf. How come they're not maximizing that for American use? Texas has no oil. You know, I mean, aren't they drilling and fracking and causing earthquakes in Oklahoma, right? So peak oil, petroleum's a problem. We'll start to use other sources. Yeah, you can make some money with solar panels, but you can't make as much money with that as you can with a combustible engine that needs fuel. See, you build that solar panel, it's good until you upgrade it, right? And you don't have to, you know, there's no charge for what the sun is doing. You know, kind of like, you know, they don't make water, but they charge you for water. How the fuck does that work? You buy a house, but you got to pay property taxes every goddamn year. How the fuck does that work? Are you paying taxes on something you already own?
How the fuck does that work? Now, you got these sovereign citizen morons. And yeah, this is not what I meant to talk about. But you got these sovereign citizen motherfuckers, man. You know, who are out here talking about, well, you know, the state doesn't have a right to make me use or have the residence of a driver's license. It's like, well, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's like saying somebody who read a book or two can get into a plane and take it up and be able to, you know, take off, know exactly how to deal with the tower, know how to check the plane before you take off, right? How to land. You can do that from reading a book. Absolutely fucking not. There's a reason why there's license. Now, I agree that there's ridiculous, overbearing examples of law. I mean, the United States has more goddamn laws than any other fucking, you know, country on the planet. But the bottom line is, you know, there's rules of the road for driving for a fucking reason. Because if everybody could do what the fuck they wanted to do, man, it would be chaos. You know what it'd be like if there was air traffic and no goddamn, you know, system? I mean, they're already trying to change the system. Not because of security sake. But because the capitalists, they want to sell drones. They want every goddamn bodega in the country to be able to have a drone and send you your food. Right? Or your porno, or whatever the fuck it is that you do, you know. And what's that? Yeah, why not talk about fucking pornography? I mean, how much goddamn money does that industry make itself? And one of the reasons why you and I were talking about it is because there's another HIV scare. And I thought they were using condoms at this point. But, you know, just like with anything else, you're going to have renegade motherfuckers. I mean, as soon as they put the... I already knew this. As soon as they put the goddamn condom regulation on the California filming, I knew full fucking well that anything coming out of California that did not use condoms in terms of full penetration and every fucking thing else that they're doing nowadays. And not to say that people have not been doing these practices for thousands of years, but I'm just saying now it's just... You know, it's just gonzo porn. You know, it's not classic porn. There's no storyline. I mean, you know, people who failed in Hollywood, but they worked in porn. You know. Yeah, because I've known people that were working in it in the 80s, and they said it was racist as hell, but it was not like what's going on now. You know, at least there was an attempt to try to look legit, especially in the 70s, right? But, you know, this gonzo thing where anybody with a camera, and I suppose they're making films now with iPhones and what have you, you know, you can have a career, you can make extra money, you can make ends meet by, you know, basically getting on that highway and, you know, showing yourself. I mean, you got people here showing themselves for free, but, you know, you also got a lot of cats here who are willing to pay for it. I mean, the last time I looked at, what was it? It was a website that was exposing the, gay Republicans, you know, who, I mean, not all gay Republicans. Now, I mean, not like the log cabin Republicans, even though I think they're hypocritical as hell, in particular sometimes. No, I'm talking about people who are specifically anti-gay in their legislation and what they do. And they would find out, and there was even a documentary called Outrage about this. And no, I'm not going to fuck with Charlie Crist anymore. He seems to have, I don't know, you know, he's had a change on, you know, on you know, in the past few years, he's looking at life from a totally different perspective. And I wish he could be more comfortable with his thing, but, you know, but the point is, a lot of these cats, like, over there in Idaho, right? I can't remember his name, I don't give a fuck. The one that was in the restroom, he was in the loo looking for an encounter. And then you had that other one, in Florida State, who said that he had to take his penis out because these black guys were in there at this rest stop and had threatened him. And, you know, if he didn't participate in the sex, then they would have kicked his ass. Now, he didn't say that he was assaulted. He said that he was forced to participate because he was afraid not to. Not that anybody actually threatened him. Look it up. I can't remember his name. But look it up. You know, now, why am I bringing this up? Why am I talking about this? Because it turns out that when it comes to pornography, you know, money, in terms, because if you're dealing with anything on the internet, you got to use a credit card, right? So, you know, there's no anonymous credit card transactions. I mean, there never were. You know, quiet maybe, but not anonymous. And it turns out that the, what they call the red states here in North America, you know, the conservative, we want all the immigrants out, we want them, White Pride Day and all that kind of shit. They buy the most goddamn porn. Right, the Bible Belt, right. The Bible Belt. the Bible Belt, right? And how many of these preachers and hardcore Christians and radio show Christians and televangelists and what have you, they catch funky? You know, I mean, how many times does it have to happen? You cannot, you know, that's one of the things I admire about Judaism, man. You know, there's no monastic orders in Judaism. You know, it just doesn't exist. Men need women, women need men. Now, how they deal with homosexuality is a totally different story, especially when you're dealing with Orthodox people. You know, you're dealing with anybody from, it's going to be a different story. So, what do you, No, if they're Orthodox, if they're from, if they observe, it's like I told you when I went over to see my pal and we went to visit his uncle. You know, I had to hold my hand over my head most of the time I was there, because it was the kosher house. So, but that's another thing, because I go on another tangent. But my point is that we got a lot of hypocrisy out here. Now, you know, it seems that either people are interested in sex or they're not getting the kind of sex that they want. Or, I don't know, you know, but it seems to be that everything is sold. We seem to think about it all the goddamn time. There are various theories about this. I got mine. I'm sure you got yours. Now she's telling me, now Guadalupe is telling me I should talk about pimping. Well, why? Oh, because of that cat. Yeah, that's right. Oh, look, man. This is some bullshit. This young fella, I don't know, I guess I'm going to say he was 24, 25, right? When we were out talking about he and his partner, this white cat that he hangs with, they decided that they want to have pimping and hoeing party. And I'm like, fuck are you talking about? He goes, yeah, man, you know, pimping and hoeing, man. And I'm like, what do you think pimping and hoeing is? And he just went through this whole thing. And it just amazes me on how that segment, on how that part of underground black life, that the underground economy has, you know, it means more to white society than actual blackness does. You know, I mean, all these motherfuckers want to be pimps. And yeah, well, he asked me because he thought I, you know, being older than him, and he has seen me dressed a couple of times when I had to go do a couple of things. He knows I got a pair of Stacey Adams. You know what I'm saying? So he came and he asked me, and I'm just like, look, man, you know, you're talking to the wrong person. Now, I've said this before on the show. I'll say this again. You know, I've said this on the show before, and I'll say it again. You know, I have a soft spot in my heart for working girls, for, you know, ladies of the evening who are out there, you know, trying to mash for some grass and bring some money home, you know, whether they're working for themselves or whether they're bringing home to their daddy. You know, it's not my business. And, you know, there's a reason why I'm like this. Because I historically know, you know, and this is what I laid down to the brother. I gave him the historical rundown. Now, there's a documentary I hear called American Gangster. No, sorry. American Pimp. The Hughes Brothers, right? Yeah, American Pimp by the Hughes Brothers. And it's, I believe it's instructive watching. But of course, you know, just like with anything else, man, you get some people who read 1984 and they get worried. You get some people who read 1984 and they use that as a training manual. You dig what I'm saying? So you get people who read Iceberg Slims, you know, books, or Donald Gordon's, whatever. But right now I'm talking about pimping. So, you know, we're talking about Iceberg Slim. Now, he was still around when I was getting my feet wet and trying to understand how the fuck I fit into this world, man. And, you know, he was a legend back in the day. He was a legend, you know. I mean, always has been in the black community. Pimps used to be the superstars. Because the point was that they were making their money, you know, their illegal money, but no one was being hurt, you know. Yeah, like my uncle used to put it, you know. One of them anyway, he said, hey man, there's nothing wrong with fair trade, right? Now, you gotta understand a couple of things. Now, they mentioned this in American Pimp, and this is why I brought this up. Now, like I said, I got relatives on both sides of this. Pimps and prostitutes. Now, you know, I've known some people who, you know, really, you know, fell in a bad way behind it. But what I'm trying to say is everybody in my family, it, you know, unless they were lying to me, it wasn't a choice. You know, they needed to make money.
they needed to earn a living, and they weren't able to do that any other way, you know. And once they got on that roller coaster, they just kept going. And like anything else, it builds its own subculture. So, you know, I mean, pimping is just as varied as anything else out here. You know, I sit here and I slam capitalism every fucking opportunity I get, you know, and then I got to hear people talking about capitalism is good here, it's good there. Well, no, I disagree. But, you know, they're just like these different forms of these stupid ass fucking religions, you know, all of them, right? You got this, you got that, then you got the orthodox, whatever. Well, if you want to get to orthodox pimping, let's get to orthodox pimping and how it deals with black people. Because first off, the idea of men selling women or forcing women to sell their sexual favors and bring them back the profits is not goddamn new and did not fucking begin with black people. And see, this is the other thing I had to tell this cat and his pal. And, you know, I could see in his face he didn't want to hear it, but he took the lecture, though. You dig what I'm saying? That shit did not start with us. You know, there were, you know, for those of you, especially him, because he's supposed to be church going. I'm like, why are you asking me about some motherfucking pimp, man? You're supposed to be a church motherfucker, right? So, you know, where was I? Yeah, you know, I mean, goddamn. You know, if you read the fucking Bible, they were temple prostitutes in the Jewish temples, right? They were prostitutes that hung around the synagogues, supposedly for ritual purpose. Yeah, okay, well, whatever. So you're going to tell me these cats didn't want to get their jollies off, so they did not go over there. So they had holstrolls right outside their places of goddamn worship. But, you know, people will have a moralistic attitude against the Netherlands because they allow for it, when they know full goddamn well that when their husband and their brothers and uncles and shit and what have you, all the males in their goddamn family are going to the cup games, what the fuck is happening? They go to a away game. What the fuck do you think they're doing? You know? I mean, everybody's living in denial. You know, that they just hope that they use a condom and shit and pray for the best, right? So, you know, we have all this hassle going on. But when you talk about in the United States, no one wants to bring that kind of history in. Nobody wants to talk about Pompeii, right? Pompeii was a Roman city. They've been doing excavations from that thing. I don't know what it started in the 50s, when it was found. I don't have my times right, because most of the, when I became knowledgeable of Pompeii, they hadn't really done that much excavation, but they had found the bodies, right? And then they started finding frescoes and what have you, and graffiti. And what are we finding? We're finding all kinds of adverts, man. You know, nothing has changed. You know, I used to work with a cat. She'd tell me, you know, times change. People do not change. You know, and he was right about that, because motherfucking it turns out that people were hoeing and pimping and overeating and getting high and doing all the same shit. I mean, there were adverts all over the goddamn place in Pompeii. Pompeii was like fucking Vegas. Well, if you're from the East Coast, Atlantic City. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, people went there to eat. There was a lot of street food. They went there to hoe. You know, they went there to whore around. But, so, you know, none of this is new. And if you're going to tell me that they were not strong-arming cats that were pimping these women out, or they were not women who were pimping other women out, and like, you know, and the gay men were not being pimped out, come on. You got to be fucking kidding. You know, just because they didn't call it pimping doesn't say that it wasn't happening. It's like, you know, what the fuck, man? So that's the first thing I laid down to him. You know, that's the first thing. This shit did not start with black people and wide-brimmed hats and shit and games. You know, it just didn't happen like that. Now, how it happened for black people was like this. Now, this is what I was told to me by cats in my own fucking family who have actually lived that life. And I'm not talking about they were just fucking around in their little hometown. I'm talking about they were slamming car doors and shit and going from one end of the motherfucking country to the other. Alright? No, they're not names. And only one of them, as far as I'm aware of, used to attend those old balls. You know, this is the New York branch of the family, right? You know, up in, I'd heard that they were having these up in Harlem. And I don't know where he lived in the city, but he told me that he had, you know, he had been to a couple of them and had complained that he didn't get any notice, right? But he would say, I was there. You know, so yeah, he didn't earn the respect of his peers or whatever the fuck over there. So he eventually stopped worrying about that shit and got back to the business of making his money. Now, in his case,
and this is probably why they didn't pay attention to him or my other relatives, is that they were not doing today, you know, like what we look as that iceberg slim cross-country pimp. They were cross-country pimping, but they was called country pimping with their wife, with their common-law wife. You know what I'm saying? This is somebody that the two of them, they didn't have any motherfucking money. This is a cat wanted to fuck her, this, that, and the other. Make sure I get paid. Make sure this cat doesn't fuck my face. And hold me and hug me and caress me and all that other shit after I go and I fuck a bunch of strangers. Because I don't really need you for anything else. Because I can earn the money on my fucking own. But I don't want to be out here on my fucking own. Because a woman out here, I don't give a fuck what race she is. Especially if you're black. Being female out here, whether you are on the street or not, it's hard. You know, black women put up with a hell of a lot of goddamn abuse. And it's the same thing I want to say to my native brothers who listen to me in Indian country, man. Especially you cats that are a Haskell. You know, I'm not making any judgment calls or anything. But, you know, brothers, we know that there's a problem with, you know, attitude problems and hand problems with the system. Alright, you know, a lot of it is alcohol, a lot of it is drugs, but a lot of it is also this motherfucking depression, because she's there and you can do that to her and there's not a whole lot in the way of repercussions, because you can't go after that cat, you know, to the white society that is nameless and faceless that is really doing this to you. So I just wanted to put that out there in the air. You know, I'm not trying to insult anybody. And I'm not trying to really air any dirty laundry either. But, you know, let's face some facts. We have a real serious misunderstanding about what's going on. And that's why I brought that up, to bring this up. Now, one of the reasons a lot of black men get treated the way they do, especially if they're sexually virile. Okay? Because that's a lot of the animosity that white society, especially white males that run the white society, have against black males. They look at you and they just assume your penis is bigger than mine. And if you fuck around with my woman, she's not going to want me anymore. And if I really have it in my mind that you are a dirty, nasty, smelly beast, then yeah, I really don't want her anymore. And you can ask white women. I have too many fucking friends and associates that are female Caucasians that have told me if motherfuckers knew that I dated a black cat, they do not fuck with me anymore. They don't fuck with you anymore. You're invisible to them. Or as one of my wise friends put it, you're damaged goods. She was told that, you're damaged goods. You know, she had us, you know, she's kind of fair in the backside, and, you know, she attracts attention from black men and Spanish speaking Indians. You dig what I'm saying? And, you know, she's considered damaged goods now. Motherfuckers don't want to bother her where she rolls. So, you know, this shit really exists. But what I was talking about, what I'm getting to right now is, you know, the idea of violence. Now, there's this assumption that if you're black male, you know, you're violent. So then when you take into account the whole sexual predator angle, now you're talking about a violent sexual predator, right? So now you're talking about, you know, black men with a white woman. Automatically now you're talking about an anti-white, you know, fucking up the flower of white womanhood type bullshit, you know, Miss Anne, right? It's just a lot of things going through the minds of the white society and white males who control and influence the society when it comes to dealing with this particular ism. So what I'm trying to say is, the reason that white people even fucking with this pimp thing, and pimp this, pimp that, pimp my ride, pimp my crib, pimp my fucking 18-wheeler and all that bullshit, is because it's considered the outsider thing. You know, motorcycle jackets don't do it anymore, right? And if you're in England, flight jackets don't do it anymore, right? You know, all of that old stuff, the biker look, the handlebar mustaches, right, the sideboards, all of that tough guy, that old shit is gone. So now it's, you know, you want to be an outlaw now? You're a pimp. You know, which fits into a whole lot of things, because one of the things about this, to me, is like the white Negro syndrome, you know. When they see black males, I mean, I don't see a whole lot of white pimps. And when I do see white pimps, and I'm not even talking about the original white fellas, because there's a whole bunch of cats that are calling themselves that. No, I'm talking about the original white fellas. The original white fellas. And if you're out here watching these goddamn movies and shit, trying to get some lessons, you'll know who I'm talking about. You know, he's inspired many a white dude lately to want to get into this, you know, to this ism. And I'm not understanding why. You're able to fucking move out there in the world. Why would you want to get into this? The black men that I'm talking about, again,
I gave this cat a history lesson, you know. And like I said, they mentioned it's an American pimp. After the slavery period, you still had a lot of white cats that liked their brown sugar. You know what I'm saying? But now, you know, the slavery period is over. He couldn't just take it. Unless she really wanted to give it to him, you know, he couldn't just do that anymore. So when these cats would come around, now they had to ask. Some of them anyway. Some of them just took it. You dig what I'm saying? And that's where a lot of animosity comes through when a lot of black men see white men with black women. And if you are a down white dude, like some of the cats that I know, you understand that. You understand that trying to be black and trying to sound black and trying to act black and shit only makes you look like a fucking fool. It only makes people angry and upset, and it doesn't help the communication. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, don't do it. You know, if you're one of those cats that, you know, if your thing is really beyond the fetish and shit, just don't do it. Just don't do it. You know, and you'll be fine. You dig what I'm saying? But anyhow, man, you know, that there's, you know, when this used to happen, right? Like I said, this is explained to me on both sides. You know, male and female in my family. From the South. You know what I'm saying? Who dealt with this. You know, and they're like, look, man, they will come around and want some. Right? This cat, the one I'm talking about, with the prototype of what became today the pimp. Okay? They were usually house Negroes. You know, they knew how to carry themselves in white company. They knew how to drive a carriage, you know. I'm talking about, you know, with some, you know, some flip, some finesse, not just going from one farm, one plantation to another, or to take goods to town. I'm talking about they knew how to front for the white dude, and that's why he dressed them better. Now, no, they didn't sit and eat with him. They might whore with the cat every now and again. And for those of you who remember the miniseries Roots, you know, or read the book, which you should read the fucking book. You see this. You might haul with him a little bit. You might go, you know, gamble some chickens and all that kind of thing, but you are still my goddamn slave. Okay? So, you know, cat that would be, you know, he would be savvy. You dig what I'm saying? And he would tell this chick. You know, boss niggas. That was usually the cat that became the pimp. You know what I'm saying? He knew how to weave his way and shuffle the crowds a little bit and come to the attention of the slave master and to say, hey, you really want me to help you out because I understand how this shit really works. And they're not going to up and move just because you ask them to. I mean, you can threaten them, but I get more out of shit. I'm just saying that because that's what it is. And when, you know, Mr. Charlie would come around, because Miss Ann wasn't as exciting as Sally, right? He said, yeah, man, let him come in. If you don't mind fucking, go ahead. But you have him leave you something. Now, from way it was understood to me, my understanding of this is that, you know, it was, you know, items, things that they needed. Clothing, you know, a side of beef, dig what I'm saying? Chickens. You know, milk, right? They would trade. She would trade, you know, sex for these goods so she could feed the family. You're talking about Reconstruction, where, you know, there was a handful of black people in the Republican Party who were able to do something. But then after the racist Democratic Party at that time, it's been reversed since then. Don't let anybody fool you. You know, this shit was not always like this. You know, in 1965, 64 or so, you know, that's when Democrats who were really big just started sliding over to the Republican Party and vice versa because of what was going on with the Johnson administration. And anybody tells you other than that is a goddamn liar. But what I'm trying to fucking get to now is this was the cat that said, look, have him pay you the next term, cash. And what they would do is they would take that cash, you dig what I'm saying? And they would hop into a carriage and they would leave and bug the fuck out of town. And then they would go to the next place. Now remember, back then prostitution was not illegal. You know, I mean, they would all be in there. If you watch these Western films, the American Westerns, right? The classic American Western, anything with John Wayne, he's sitting there with prostitutes all the time, laughing, eating dinner, playing cards, playing dominoes and shit. So you know, it's like, well, what the fuck are we doing? Talk about that? This was not really happening. So of course they were able to make money.
And for all the bullshit that's talked about and how, you know, black people are, you know, they're disgusting. We don't want anything to do with them. We don't want them near us. We don't want them living near us. You know what I'm saying? They sold plenty of pussy, man. So don't fucking, you know, believe the hype. All right. When you look at the, like when I was talking about, you know, the credit card sales, you know, it's in the Bible Belt, right? Well, it's the same thing. They can show you what type of porn they look at. It's almost all interracial. It's almost all interracial, man. You know, what's his name? Lex Steele is, and Wesley Pipes are better known in the white world than they are in the black world, man. So, you know, this, you know, come on now. Let's just stop bullshitting each other, okay? Let's just stop bullshitting each other. If there wasn't a market for it, it wouldn't exist. And we're talking about, you know, basic human drives. So while you have some cats that can be disciplined, if they don't have a wife, they don't have a girlfriend, they don't have access to women, they can be disciplined. You know, some people, fuck it, they want the experience. And then let's also face facts. As I saw this growing up, there are cats that are just addicted to prostitutes, man. There are people, and this is not, yeah, that's not a white boy. Man, no. That, I've seen that with a whole lot of peck motherfuckers, man, you know. They are addicted to prostitutes. They're addicted to prostitution. They're addicted to that whole go out there and hunt for a chick, and then you get cats to get their favorites. I mean, I've seen it, man. And no, I have never been a pimp, and I've never attempted to claim that title. Don't want the title. But I grew up with it. You dig what I'm saying? I grew up around it, man. You know, like I said, pimps and hoes in my family. Okay? You know, I mean, there were two pimps that lived in my building. I mean, it was impossible to get around. And I lived on the corner of a hostel. So it's like, you know, what the fuck are you talking about? Matter of fact, there were about 6 or 7 goddamn tracks on a Saturday during the summertime. So, you know, and that's just one black neighborhood. Dig what I'm saying? And it's not because black people are particularly doing this thing. No. They, you know, thrust into these ghetto situations. That is the underground economy. That is the underground economy. I mean, the only time I saw white people in my neighborhood is when they were cops and teachers. Or they were white kids that were coming in at night to buy dope. Or they were white guys that were coming in to buy ass. And like I said, I'm not making judgment calls, man. I'm just pointing certain things out. And what I was trying to explain to this young brother is, this is one of the negatives. This is one of the downsides of black life. And, you know, we've allowed this to be put forth as a goal in life. I mean, we've all heard young people talk about, I want to be a prostitute. I want to be a pimp, right? I want to be a safecracker. You know, you hear these types of things. And what you realize is they're watching these goddamn movies. They want to be gangbangers. How the hell do you, at 11 years old, want to be in a gang? What the fuck do you know about being in a gang? You know? They popularized this shit. I'm not in for censorship, but you know, you got to kind of ask yourself why this is being allowed. Why are they getting funding? Why is this happening? You know, that shit should be, if it's going to be anywhere, on the fucking underground, not for general consumption. And no, I am not a prude. I'm not even trying to say you need to stop prostitution. I'm just saying there's better, there's ways to do things, man. And what this cat was talking about was not really pimping, you know. I mean, what he's saying is he just wanted to have a party because he wanted the theme to be about this. And I was just like, why do you want to perpetuate something like this? These, you know, black men do this or have done this because they couldn't find anything else and they didn't want to rob, right? Or at least, you know, they personally didn't want to rob. They might send their girls out there to do that kind of thing. I mean, for those of you who have seen the ultimate classic, you know, the movie that probably got a whole lot of cats to start pimping more than anything else, The Mac. And yeah, I mean, I know some cats that have pimped, you know, just after watching that movie. I mean, they saw it, I don't know how many times. And that's how they got started. You know, but they also rolled into something else. See, everybody that I knew just about, and I'm including my family members in this who pimped a prostitute, once they were able to roll into, you know, steady work, doing something else, or they buy a business, you know, when they were able to get into something else, they stopped. You know, they talk about it, they reminisce it, they talk about the coke and, you know, some of the things that happened. But, you know, it wasn't anything like, yeah, well, I want to retire as a prostitute, you know, because there is no such thing. And see, and the other thing, I keep trying to tell these young guys to talk that bullshit, man. Because, I mean, look, it's ridiculous what I have seen. You know, a couple of times I went home, man. And I'm not going to give off any street names or anything, but I was in North Philly, and I'm trying to understand how the fuck seven cats can pimp on one girl. I mean, what kind of cut is that? I mean, how the fuck do y'all do that? You know, if you're a pimp, motherfucker, you get the money first. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you got the kind of arrangement with her, you know, and see, that's the other thing. I don't even know how we even got talking about this bullshit. But anyway, now that I'm in this zone, I'm going to fucking be here for a little bit. Look, man, you got situations. Like I said, I'm talking about my own family right now, for what I've seen with my own eyes. You know, you got situations where you will have a woman who she's been so disassociated from herself. I'm being straight up. She's been so disassociated from herself. She's been brutalized and what have you so much. Sex really does not mean anything to her. Now, it doesn't mean that she doesn't want to have, you know, an intimate, close relationship, you know, that includes physical closeness with a male. I'm just saying that, you know, the male that's with her has to understand what she's been through. You dig what I'm saying? And what she's doing to maintain herself, right? Now, if you're a woman that's out there, you know, and I don't know, different people hear this motherfucking show. Now, if you're out there with somebody who claims to be pimping on you or whatever the fuck, and, you know, you can say to yourself to be a career prostitute, and you, you know, go from whatever motherfucker you're with to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, until you find somebody you like or whatever, you know. I don't envy you, sister. I know it's hard out here. I've seen it hard for a lot of you. I watched, like I said, women in my family go through this kind of shit because they felt they couldn't do anything else. And once they got into that, that was what put food on the table. You know, instant cash, you know, didn't have to wait for a check, didn't have to go through all that other bullshit. And, you know, it's a fucking shame that that's out here. I'm gonna be straight up with you too. There's a wing of feminism that says that this should be a choice. I'm not against that. I'm open to that debate, but you definitely should be able to have a say over what happens to you and who you fuck with and negotiate your price and you know, be able to do that and let this, you know, cat have his fucking experience and you're able to go home. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's, you know, safely, you know, that's where I'm at with this. So, you know, yeah, you got a couple that will hook up out there in the street. And I'm not trying to be insulting to anybody, you know, like they'll hook up in rehab or whatever the fuck. And, you know, they have no options. And this is what they do. And, you know, some of them, they will continue to do that. You'll see him at the bus stops and shit. He's got on white gaiters. You know, she's still dressing pretty much the way they used to. They got on two, I mean, they look the way they used to. You know, they got on the go and they're waiting for the bus. I've seen that, you can see. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't get anything out of that bullshit other than what you got out of it. And, you know, there is no time and any that kind of bullshit. So you motherfuckers that want to get into that, think, you know, that's the life, right? That's the lifestyle you want to live. That's what you think is cool. And you can continue to party and do all that kind of bullshit. Then you go right ahead. Then you got other situations where, you know, because I got a cousin that's doing this right now. He doesn't have the heart to pimp. He just doesn't, you know, but he managed to fall in with this chick that she's a stripper. And he likes to hang around that type of thing, man. He likes that environment, but he doesn't have the stomach to, you know, let his girl go fuck somebody else and shit while he waits for her. So they do the strip thing. And, you know, from her end, she needed somebody in her corner and she wanted to be with somebody. You know, but she's doing the sex thing all the time. And she liked the fact that he didn't really, you know, he doesn't really fuck with her like that. And they're really, I mean, they're pimping and hoeing, but they're not involving anything in, you know, with the sex. I mean, somebody said this in that same documentary, American Pimp. And I have no particular beef with Hugh Hefner. I think Hugh Hefner is one of the most brilliant publishers the United States ever produced. But let's face facts. He's a pimp. If you're going to talk about pimping. But who identifies him as a pimp? He's not identified as a pimp because he's white. There was another cat in there, and I've seen him on 2020 Nightline, Richard Hall. I remember his name because I've seen him so many goddamn times. And I never understood when my relatives gotten, you know, when they would get in trouble, and they would call them pimps and hoes and whores and what have you. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's doing the same goddamn thing. He's got a spot down there and it's legal in Nevada.
the Bunny Ranch, right? Even that cat who got Bobbitt, who got his joint chopped off. He works there. He worked there. So, you know, I'm just like, come on, man. You know, we got a whole lot of goddamn hypocrisy. Well, what I'm trying to bring to, and I've already talked too long about this shit, is that, you know, we're not asking any real questions. Now, I'm talking about a young cat, man, who knows better. And he's really probably in his mind just having fun. But, you know, we live in Portlandia, where we are pretty much outnumbered by white people. When I say outnumbered by white people, I'm not talking about necessarily physical violence. I'm talking about politically. You know what I'm saying? Economically. We don't have. Now, there's a lot of poor people here. Period. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of ethnicity. And it's, you know, it's pretty bad. And when I first got here, it was a little more affordable. Let's put it that way. It was a hell of a lot more affordable. And what's going on now is just the same thing we're seeing all over the country. You know, this gentrification like a motherfucker. You know, nobody's really, you know, thinking in terms of, you know, what is the end. I mean, there's no state tax here. You know, I mean, people come to Portlandia just to shop, you know, which in some ways is good. But at the same time, you know, we have to ask, because people are like, oh, how come they don't do this? You know, just say, add a tax, that'll fix everything. No, not really, because just because you got the money doesn't necessarily mean you know what the fuck to do with it. I mean, you got Seattle up here in Washington State, and they've been going back and forth on goddamn the light rail. You know, they tore up two whole immigrant communities, migrant communities that were thriving to make line for this. Not to say that there's not Asians out there from Vietnam and Cambodia, but it's not like it was. It's not like it was. They're being gentrified the fuck out. You dig what I'm saying? All those Filipinos, man, you know, the Philippine Community Center, it doesn't exist anymore because of that. So it's like, no. I mean, they got roads over there and that are just, you know, it's pothole city, right? They got money up the yin yang. But see, you know, when they're not paying police brutality, what do you call it? I mean, when you settle, instead of taking the thing all the goddamn way through to prove a fucking point. Yeah, you know, they got to pay so much of that bullshit off, they can't fix the roads. And these cats get a pretty good salary over there, but they can't seem to manage to get anything done. They can't seem to manage to, I mean, they will talk for fucking 8 years before they finally come to a decision that, yeah, we're going to do this. Then they start, you know, having committee after subcommittee. And that's one of the things about, like, left that has to be acknowledged, man. They will talk in circles all goddamn day long about something, never get anything done. Then on the other hand, you got the right, and especially the far right. They'll make a decision within a matter of seconds. And it'll be a stupid decision, and nobody will fucking, you know, try to correct any goddamn thing, and that'll just go on into perdition. So, you know, both ends of the thing are bad. You know what I'm saying? It's gotta be something, as the Buddha say, somewhere in the middle that makes more sense. There has to be. There has to be. You know, why are we not asking these questions? Why are we asking about, like, say, you know, what is really happening with money? Where is it going? Who's making it? What are they spending on? You know, since we can't stop talking about money around here, I mean, what the fuck is going on? You know? I mean, we got here, you got a toxic spill going on in Mexico. You got the union people trying to, you know, fight against this, to stand against this. These are things that are really happening to real people. You got fracking. You know, I just watched a documentary called Frack Nation, where this Englishman comes to the United States, as Englishmen do, and they tell Americans about themselves. And he came to the conclusion, because I suppose somebody's paying him, that fracking isn't doing anything but benefiting the United States, even though Ohio and Oklahoma, they are fighting fracking because they have earthquakes every couple of goddamn hours. You know, these are the same people that say there's no climate disruption. There's no climate change. You know, that, you know, fucking up the environment, it has no effect. That it has no effect on the planet. That these things are normal. And, like, what did that one BBC document I told you? The great climate change swindle or something like that. Where this cat, he says, you know, climate change, they brought up some period where there was a frost in the 1800s, whatever. That type of climate change as opposed to climate warming. But with the Frank Luntz, yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for completely fucking up the debate on that. Frank Luntz, he's the GOP go-to guy. He's the one, the kind that tells you. And if you look at him, you'll see exactly how, when I talk about prostitution and shit, you know, there are just some cats, man, you can look at them and tell that they buy pussy. I'm just sorry. And I'm sorry to be rude about it. But there's some cats, man, you know, they buy pussy, man. And it's like, he is somebody who looks like that. All right. He looks like somebody who fucking only gets off. Who only really, like, sees anything out of life, you know, by scamming and fucking with other people. And see, when you are like that, you're like Rush Limbaugh, and you can't keep a woman. I mean, how many times has that motherfucker been married? How many times has Rush Limbaugh, that moral fucking midget, how many times, that fucking Oxycontin addict, how many times has he been married? And I, last time I saw a video of him, he's gained a hell of a lot of weight, right? He gained it all back. When he stopped doing the Oxycontin, he gained it back. So, you know, I don't want to hear anything from him. You know, he talks all kinds of shit about the ACLU. And then when his ass got into that drug bit, the ACLU was the first group he fucking called. So, no. Rush Limbaugh is a pig. And I don't want to have anything to do with him. But, you know, I'm disappointing. I'm disappointing. When you see all these Republicans that are caught out here, you know, like Tom DeLay, another real pig. You know, I mean, here he was defending sex abuse and abject slavery in the South Mariana Islands. I mean, the hammer, Tom fucking DeLay. And they got the nerve to even be interviewed. And, well, Cheney too, for that matter. Who knows about Cheney? I don't care about Cheney's sex life, and no one should. Why would that interest me? Well, no, I really don't care. I mean, with his health issues, I mean, the chances of him doing whatever, it is slim. I don't think he lives for that anyway. But then there were rumors that he was sitting around watching the torture videos over and over, right? So maybe he is a freak. I mean, you have to be to sit around and want to watch things like that. But his daughter, yeah, well, you know, I don't hold that against I mean, she's gay. You know, but what I do have a problem with is the hypocrisy. Yeah, I did that. I have a problem with, because how the hell are you going to run an administration that is anti-gay and then turn around and, you know, your daughter is one of the more important lesbians in the United States. You know, she is your daughter who, right, she's living with her partner and they consider themselves to be married. So it's like, what happened to all of the, whatever happened to the whole moral thing there? Yeah, so what does that mean? It means to me that there's a whole lot of hypocrisy. That's exactly what it means to me. You know, a whole lot of hypocrisy in the Republican Party. Because here you have a classic case. Here you have a woman who is a lesbian. She's living as a lesbian. She's obviously, I mean, she's having test tube babies. And they don't see any hypocrisy in this. Well, yeah, it's like what your husband was saying about the ice bucket challenge for ALS. They use stem cells for that. The same people who complain about stem cells didn't want to be left out in the ice bucket challenge. Yeah, because, Lupe and I, we were criticized because we didn't do it. And it's like, for what? It's the same thing with breast cancer. Yeah, I support all kinds of things that are for really dealing with breast cancer, but I do not give a dime anymore to any of these groups. Why? If you remember the was it Coleman Foundation? What happened with that? They tried to swing that money over to the GEP. And when I look at black women, they're not receiving any help from these groups. They're not receiving any help from these groups. There's money being made on this. Now, of course, that's not why I started out, but that's the ism. That's how it ended up happening. Just like with pimping. I mean, you know, it started off with two people who are trying to, you know, this eat, right? You know, to a system, right, that starts to build a subculture. So, of course, you're going to have abuses. Of course, there's going to be women out here being forced to do this, tricked to do this, you know, put on dope to do this. Now, see, anybody who's really doing this, as far as I'm concerned, the last thing he's going to do is put you on fucking dope. You know what I'm saying? Dope costs money.
And if he's got to get you high, that means the dope man get the money. You dig what I'm saying? So how the fuck that work out? You know, you're supposed to get paid, not him. You know, and again, I'm not justifying anything. I'm not trying to say, oh yeah, you know, go out there, try your hand at pimping. I mean, really, one of the reasons why I'm talking about this is because this brother, you know, brought this to me, and it turned out that I've never really talked about it. Because he's not the first young man that came to me talking about some shit like that. And it's like, I just never really talked about it. And then somebody else said to me, man, you know, it's a lot of brothers that do listen to your show. And it's like, all right, man, all right. So I'll talk about it a little bit. And yeah, you know, read Iceberg Slim book. You know, well, all of them, really. Just for the hell of it, you know. Now, Donald Goins wasn't a pimp, but, you know, it comes up in his stories too. You know, street life, right? So, you know, read these things, man, and, you know, get a grip and understand what the fuck is going on with that is. And, you know, as far as the Mac, that's the only film I'm going to recommend in terms of a drama. And again, I have not done this, but I have watched motherfuckers do this all my life. So you got your Macs, you got your, you know, your players and shit. And to me, you know, the Mac, what? I mean, a real Mac is not just a pimp. A real Mac is doing just about any goddamn thing to earn bread, right? To make bread. You get what I'm saying? They're not limited by whatever, you know, type of little scams and shit they're going to be doing, you know? I mean, if it's a couple, man, and I mean a real couple is doing that, they're like Bonnie and Clyde, you get what I'm saying? Without all the chaos and mayhem, you know? I mean, they're basically playing on people's fantasies and shit, and They live the way they want to live. And if that's what they want to do with themselves, fine. Go ahead and do it. No, I am not going to support the motherfucking, you know, violent ass, you know, pushing girls out there, tricking girls and shit, taking advantage of women who are already, you know, more than likely pretty unstable because they've been abused and taken advantage of and don't have a whole lot of options. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, if you're one of these middle class suck motherfuckers and you really want to get down in that kind of shit, I think you're a fucking fool. You know, you can just go ahead and fuck around with sex clubs and shit and do pretty much the same goddamn thing. You know, go swing. Why would you want to get involved in some shit like that? You know, I mean, you're talking about disease. You're talking about the possibility of incarceration. You know, because I don't know why motherfuckers don't realize pimping is illegal. You know, see, that part of it doesn't come up, right? Nobody really talks about that. Yeah, you didn't know that either. You can be charged. You can be prosecuted for living off the earnings of a prostitute. Yeah, because you know you're living with her. You got no visible means of support, right? You know, even if you're not her man, you can be her her like stupid ass friend who didn't have any place else to go, and you're sleeping on the sofa. Yeah, you can get charged. Fuck yeah, yeah. I mean, look, man, anything can happen nowadays. I mean, if you call 911 because your grandmother's having a coronary, I mean, you know, the police get there before the motherfucking EMS do. And they will get in the way of the EMS and even stop them from working on you if they fucking decide that they want to search the house and hold everybody up at gunpoint. Yeah, because it's happening. Now, it doesn't happen in you know, to mainstream people. When I say mainstream, I'm talking about, you know, those who own a house and all that kind of shit. Consider themselves to be pretty much in the middle of everything. But, you know, for the rest of us, you know, who don't have all that, you know, poor whites, you know, Mexicans and shit, you know, especially if they're poor. And just seems to be black people and natives in general. I mean, they pretty much do whatever the fuck they want. Man. You know, they'll walk in your house, they'll demand ID, you know, open your door, you know, what's all this, you know, can't research after they've already started looking around and shit and going through your things. You know, in the meantime, your grandmother's still having her goddamn coroner. You know, they are losing people because of this. I'm not joking about this. And you got EMS people that are getting hemmed up in legal problems and sometimes even getting beat up. I mean, if you go on YouTube, yeah, you can see a couple of EMS people. They're like, look, I need to take this person to the goddamn hospital. No, you ain't going nowhere until I say. So, you know, a lot of people power tripping, man. And, yeah, you know, so yeah, I'm not condoning no motherfucking pimping, but I'm just saying, if we're going to talk about this shit, let's talk about it. There's a historical fucking thing here that's going on. Now, you know, war has been going on for a long time, too. That don't mean we need to continue. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we need to really be conscious and be sure and be safe with ourselves and those around us. And, you know, stop watching Jerry fucking Springer. you know, oh, he's a pimp, he probably kicks her ass. Man, there's a whole lot of men out here kicking women's asses, man, and they ain't pimps. You know, I never knew any pimps except for the cats that I used to watch, and to me, they weren't pimps any goddamn way. They were Macs. Because they were forcing those girls out there, more than likely. They had something on those girls out there. You know, you see a motherfucker with 19-inch arms and shit standing there looking fucking totally goddamn evil. That motherfucking pimp. He's a fucking Mac. If he can't get you if he can't get money out of these women, he'll just beat the shit out of you and take it. Or rob your motherfucking house. Maybe while you're in the motherfucker. You don't think that this, but I mean, Max, man, they'll tie you the fuck up and rob your goddamn place and shit and hold your fucking family at gunpoint just like any other crook. And then you'll see him on the track the next fucking Saturday. Right? Now, the Tuesday before that, he probably moved to Key or some shit some fucking way. You know what I'm saying? You know, a Mac is for all kinds of purposes. And I'm saying this with all due respect to those of you who consider yourselves to be Macs. They are career criminals. I mean, that's just what it is. You know, if you're really talking about pimping, that's something else. And that can come in a whole lot of goddamn varieties. You know what I'm saying? You know, that can come in a whole lot of goddamn varieties. You know, and then you got your, your players, right? You know, and players are what? You know, like I was talking about my man. You know, I mean, he doesn't have the heart, man, to put his girl out there and have her, you know, do that with anybody else. I mean, he tells me that this hard for him is to watch her shake. So he drops her off and he comes and he picks her up. You know what I'm saying? He don't want to be there because he gets jealous. But she makes way more motherfucking money than he makes at his job. You know, he works. He's got a little bit of job. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't, you know, earn, you know, some bread, but I mean, I'm just being honest. Because of his record, he ain't going to be able to earn for so much. You know, I'm not going to say what he does, but let's just put it this way. You know, it's nothing that anybody who really, you know, claimed the pimp, you know, type of pimp or anything like that would want. All right. You know, he's not particularly, you know, in an advantageous position, and he's very embarrassed by it. But, you know, you would never know if you saw him when he, you know, wasn't too on his way from work. You never know that he didn't have anything, because she keeps him, you know. And they're smart. They're putting their money away. They got plans. They don't have any children, so they don't have that to worry about. You know what I'm saying? They can figure out what they want to do. And he's, you know, they're at the age that they got enough time to do that. So, you know, in their case, they got a goal. They're moving towards something. And like I said, you can call it pimping if you want to. Some do. I don't know any hard pimps that would. I don't know any motherfucking real gentleman leisure that would accept that. But then there are some that will say, well, hey, man, it's not a matter of what she's doing. It's a matter of the game. And if the game can pull money in like that and she doesn't have to do that much work, then fuck it. You ahead of the goddamn game. So, you know, some will say he's doing class A goddamn pimping in a world where really pimping can't exist no motherfucking more. They got GPS and all this other shit, cameras every fucking place. How the fuck you gonna pimp? You know, I mean, you can pimp in the ghetto. That's about as much as you can do. And I'm not saying that there's not pimp going on in these hotels. And I'm not saying you don't still have holsters. I'm just saying, man, it's not like it was. And with this disease shit that's going on out here, man, it's not just HIV and AIDS. Gonorrhea made a serious goddamn kickback in the black community. You know what I'm saying? Chlamydia is all over the fucking place. And genital warts, man, I didn't even want to discuss it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's more prevalent in the black community, I'm understanding, than herpes. And herpes is out there too. So it's like, look, man, you know, really, if you give a fuck about the girl, why would you want her out there like that? Seriously. If you really give a damn about the girl, man, why would you want her to put herself in that position? To take those kinds of risks. And then you're looking at, you know, getting arrested, being detained, getting a record, and then you try to get your shit together after that. You're not going to get your shit together after that. How many CEOs you know used to be prostitutes? How many CEOs you know used to be pimps? You know, it's just not going to happen. You can't even get a civil service goddamn job if you got that kind of shit on your record. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, man. You know, think about what the fuck is going on. And as a social phenomenon, like I said, look at it, take it for what it is, because it all is what the fuck it is.
but you know, don't get caught up in this whole pimping and hauling thing, because it's just one more fucking thing, man, that you know, they've taken from black people. That's negative. That it's been thrust out into the mainstream media in terms of popular culture, and that's how black men and women are being defined. And don't think that when, you know, a sister gets, you know, ethnic on some white folks and shit because they're treating her badly, disrespecting her, trying to violate her rights, that they're not, it's not going through their minds. The same thing with black guys. You know, every time you stand next to a white woman, one of the things that they would say to themselves, because I've had white guys get drunk and coked up and tell me this, they think you're trying to pimp. Or that she will offer it to you. Because, you know, a lot of white bigots out here, they got this idea that every white woman just wants to give it up to every black man that they see on the street. You know, and there's a lot of sisters that have that attitude. So, you know, I mean, we're not getting along with each other because there's a whole lot of bullshit. You know, instead, because we never look deeper into anything. And if we're really going to talk about pimping, then let's talk about what the fuck the entire United States has been doing. I mean, what the fuck is ALEC? Right? The American Legislative Executive Council. I mean, they're pimps, man. They go around from place to goddamn place. You dig what I'm saying? Robbing them blind and then selling back to them their own fucking resources and their own goddamn utilities for a fucking profit. I mean, this is the last thing I'll say. Another documentary I saw not too long ago. Somebody had me watch. It was about what was going on in Detroit before things super, super got bad in Detroit, right? When I say super bad, like right now they're cutting off the water. But this is what led up to that. The first person that they brought in there, she decided that she was going to give herself $500,000 salary in a city that's bankrupt, right? So then she turns around and hires a bunch of officers. They get $250,000 each, or better. Then they turn around and raise the water price up, damn near 25% in some cases. And what was her attitude on camera? She was asked about, why do you think these people are angry with you and they're suing and all of this kind of shit and taking their matter to the city council? She's like, well, we're trying to help them and they're just unappreciative. You're talking about people that don't have enough. I mean, they barely have $3 after they pay their rent. Talk about, oh, well, why can't they pay this exorbitant goddamn water bill for a utility that they were already being over fucking charged for a utility, a resource that belongs to them and everybody else that lives in that goddamn municipality. So who's the pimp here? Who's beating people up? There were people taken to jail just for protesting there. There were people assaulted by police just for protesting peacefully. I mean, we're talking about Ferguson. Say, you know, come on. No, they did not bring tanks in, but fuck, they're all militarized any goddamn way. So who's doing the beating up? Who's the pimp that's the heavy hand? I mean, really? I think pimping is Mackin, right? That's Mackin. That ain't fucking pimp. You know, a real fucking pimp, whether he gives a personal fuck about the girl or not, man. If she looks bad, he ain't getting paid. If she's limping on the track, he ain't getting paid. No money. Unless, like I said, you got somebody who's just desperate and wants to get a nut, you know what I'm saying? And when it comes to the crackhead, I cannot give them, I mean, they're prostituting, but it's hard for me to give them the title prostitute, man. You know, cause I know too many prostitutes that would not deal with the shit that those girls put up with. They're trying to, you know, feed their habit. And they get caught into these, you know, they become vampires, man, or genies, at least call them back. And it's a goddamn shame. But see, that's not what I'm talking about. See, I'm talking about what Alex does. See, Alex would accuse a black man or put in the wind that a black man is pimping and he's violent towards women and all that kind of shit. And then you look at a system that does what it does to women, to entire fucking families. You know, where incarceration is profitable. Where they mandate that 98% of the beds have to be filled, or the state has to pay them. What kind of fucking system is that? That, I mean, if anybody's talk about pimping and exploitation and shit, that's pimping. Now, if you want to talk about the pure criminality of it, that's goddamn Mac. Okay? Especially when it's centralized, like what the Koch brothers are doing and all that kind of shit. I mean, they centralized all of that. They're trying to centralize it even more. So it's like, nah. You know, so, yeah. That's... Yeah, I didn't mean to go on that long. But, yeah, that's what I said to that cat, man. You know, I let him know that, you know, don't fall in to this bullshit that you, you know, because, I mean, you're a smart kid otherwise, you know, why would you do this? You know, why would you involve yourself in some shit like that? And, you know, did he hear me? I don't know. You know, I don't know. Well, was I 100% right and exact, maybe? You know, hey, I don't know that. You know, I told him what I thought, you know, from what I had seen. And he came to me because he felt that I knew something and he didn't. And he said that to me. He says, yeah, I've heard you talk about it before, you know. And I said, yeah, but I was talking about it politically. And he goes, yeah, I know. But, you know, I just figured that, you know, this, that, and the other. And like I said, no, it wasn't anything, but it got my mind turned. You know, it got my mind turned that, you know, if somebody like him from his background, like I said, this is a church man, you know, he'll be in the pulpit this Sunday. You know, this is a church man. He wasn't, you know, trying to be disrespectful to the sisters or anything like that, but it's just something that in his mind, you know, he wasn't really thinking about it. You know, he's looking at the fun of it, but not really thinking, say, how you know, white society will look at this and how the black man coming behind him is going to be looked at and treated because of this. You know, so, yeah, man, you know, I suppose that's where the fuck I'm at with this, because that's not at all the fuck I was going to talk about. And that was that group that was hijacked over there by Minister Maurice Muhammad, who made a complete fool out of himself down in Texas. You know, because it was pretty public, our disagreement. And I'm not saying this to insult him personally. I'm just saying, you know, he made himself, you know, out to be a fool. And a whole lot of other black revolutionaries by hooking up with Open Carry Texas to help C.J. Grissom get his concealed license back. You know, I don't know why he was interested in this other than, I guess he thought he was going to get some attention. He was going to get some play, and that something was going to work out for him. And you know, I don't know if it was a sense of grandeur or what, man. But he's really done a bit of damage. And from what I'm understanding, he's been causing confusion like that. And I'm just becoming aware of it. But you know, it's again, man, it is what it is. And it's like in his case, he didn't look any deeper than he looked. So, you know, the situation got fucked up and they ended up not having the goddamn march. So he, you know, it was just a bad motherfucking move, man, all the way around. So stick around. We're going to hear from other things. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio and I appreciate you for sticking around. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Zesh9 from Zesh9.com. And you're listening to the Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
The long view is lame duck Pentagon Chief Donald Rumsfeld, who insists America is on the right side of history.
If you were going to give yourself a letter grade for your performance as Secretary of Defense, what grade would that be?
Oh, I'd let history worry about that.
Gentlemen, the gentlelady from Georgia, Ms. McKinney.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, I watched President Bush deliver a moving speech at the United Nations in September 2003, in which he mentioned the crisis of the sex trade. The president called for the punishment of those involved in this horrible business. But at the very moment of that speech, DynCorp was exposed for having been involved in the buying and selling of young women and children. While all of this was going on, DynCorp kept the Pentagon contract to administer the smallpox and anthrax vaccines and is now working on a plague vaccine through the Joint Vaccine Acquisition Program. Mr. Secretary, is it policy of the U.S. government to reward companies that traffic in women and little girls? That's my first question. My second question, correct. Mr. Secretary, according to the Comptroller General of the United States, there are serious financial management problems at the Pentagon, to which Mr. Cooper alluded. Fiscal year 1999, $2.3 trillion missing. Fiscal year 2000, $1.1 trillion missing. And DOD is the number one reason why the government can't balance its checkbook. The Pentagon has claimed year after year that the reason it can't account for the money is because its computers don't communicate with each other. My second question, Mr. Secretary, is who has the contracts today to make those systems communicate with each other? How long have they had those contracts? And how much have the taxpayers paid for them? Finally, Mr. Secretary, after the last hearing, I thought that my office was promised a written response to my question regarding the four war games on September 11th. I have not yet received that response, but would like for you to respond to the questions that I've put to you today, and then I do expect the written response to my previous question, hopefully by the end of the week.
Thank you, Representative. First, the answer to your first question is no, absolutely not. The policy of the United States government is clear, unambiguous, and opposed to the activities that you described. The second question.
Well, how do you explain the fact that DynCorp and its successor companies have received and continue to receive government contracts?
I would have to go and find the facts, but there are laws and rules and regulations with respect to government contracts, and there are times that corporations do things they should not do, in which case they tend to be suspended for some period. There are times then that the under the laws and the rules and regulations for the that passed by the Congress and implemented by the executive branch, that corporations can get off of out of the penalty box, if you will, and be permitted to engage in contracts with the government. They're not generally not barred in perpetuity.
This company was never in the penalty box. If you could proceed to my second question, please.
The second question. I've forgotten what the second question was.
You are listening to the Angrindian and Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POCorganize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize.